Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Arteries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Pete Walker's Complex PTSD From Surviving to Thriving is a self-help and clinical recovery guide for adults who live with the long-term effects of childhood abuse, neglect, abandonment, or emotionally unsafe family systems. Written by a licensed psychotherapist who also identifies as a survivor, the book combines personal experience, therapeutic observation, and practical exercises rather than presenting a formal academic model. Its central purpose is to help readers understand complex post-traumatic stress as a pattern shaped by prolonged relational trauma, not as a personal defect or moral failure. Walker explains symptoms such as emotional flashbacks, toxic shame, inner criticism, avoidance, relational fear, and compulsive coping through a recovery-oriented framework. The book is especially known for translating trauma concepts into accessible language and offering tools for self-compassion, grieving, boundary setting, emotional regulation, and rebuilding safe connection. It functions as both a map of recovery tasks and a vocabulary for survivors trying to identify experiences that may have remained unnamed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, complex trauma is framed as a developmental injury rather than a character flaw. A central contribution of the book is its reframing of complex post-traumatic stress as the outcome of sustained relational harm, especially in childhood environments marked by neglect, rejection, humiliation, fear, or emotional abandonment. Walker emphasizes that many survivors do not primarily remember a single catastrophic event. Instead, their nervous systems and self-concepts were shaped by repeated exposure to danger, inconsistency, or lack of care. This distinction matters because it changes the recovery question from what is wrong with me to what happened repeatedly enough to teach my body and mind to survive this way. The book presents symptoms such as shame, hypervigilance, isolation, perfectionism, emotional collapse, and difficulty trusting others as adaptations to unsafe early conditions. This framing can be clinically useful because it reduces self-blame and helps readers see patterns as learned survival strategies. At the same time, Walker does not treat insight alone as sufficient. He argues that recovery requires working across emotional, cognitive, relational, and somatic dimensions. The practical implication is that healing is not just remembering trauma, but slowly replacing inherited survival patterns with self-protection, self-kindness, and safer forms of connection. Secondly, the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn responses organize common survivor patterns. Walker is widely associated with applying the four trauma responses of fight, flight, freeze, and fawn to the everyday behavior patterns of complex trauma survivors. In his model, fight responses may appear as control, anger, or defensive dominance. Flight responses may show up as overwork, perfectionism, busyness, or anxious planning. Freeze responses may involve withdrawal, dissociation, passivity, or retreat into isolation. Fawn responses are linked to people pleasing, appeasement, codependency, and the suppression of personal needs to preserve attachment. The value of this framework is that it gives readers a concrete way to identify how survival strategies continue after the original danger has passed. Rather than labeling behavior only as dysfunction, the book interprets it as an attempt to manage threat, abandonment, or shame. Walker also notes that people often combine responses, so the model is not meant to be a rigid personality test. Its practical use lies in helping readers recognize automatic reactions and choose responses that better fit present circumstances. The limitation is that this typology is more experiential and therapeutic than formally established by research, so it is best read as a reflective tool rather than a diagnostic system. Thirdly, emotional flashbacks are treated as the hidden engine of many CPTSD episodes. One of the most influential ideas in the book is Walker's description of emotional flashbacks. Unlike classic flashbacks that may involve vivid sensory reliving of a traumatic event, emotional flashbacks are presented as sudden regressions into overwhelming states of fear, shame, despair, helplessness, or abandonment. A person may not see images from the past, yet the body and emotions react as if early danger has returned. This concept helps explain why apparently small triggers can produce intense reactions that seem disproportionate to the present situation. Walker links these episodes to unresolved childhood states and argues that survivors often mistake them for proof of defectiveness, weakness, or instability. The book offers practical steps for managing them, including identifying the flashback, reminding oneself that the feeling belongs partly to the past, reducing self-attack, grounding in the present, and seeking safe support when possible. The emphasis is not on suppressing emotion, but on contextualizing it. This approach is useful because it gives readers a sequence for interrupting spirals of shame and panic. It also encourages a longer view of recovery, where repeated recognition of flashbacks gradually weakens their authority over self-perception. Fourthly, shrinking the inner critic is presented as essential to reducing toxic shame. Walker devotes significant attention to the inner critic, which he describes as an internalized voice of blame, perfectionism, fear, and self-hate. In the context of childhood trauma, this critic is not merely negative thinking. It is portrayed as the psychological residue of environments where the child was repeatedly shamed, ignored, frightened, or made responsible for the emotions of caregivers. The critic maintains toxic shame by converting normal needs, mistakes, anger, sadness, or dependency into evidence of personal failure. Walker argues that recovery requires actively challenging this voice rather than passively accepting its judgments. His methods include identifying critic attacks, using corrective self-talk, grieving the pain beneath shame, and developing a protective inner response that defends the vulnerable self. This focus is concrete because many survivors experience self-attack as a daily obstacle to therapy, relationships, rest, and decision-making. The book also connects the critic to perfectionism and fear-based productivity, showing how self-punishment can masquerade as discipline. Some professionals may find parts of Walker's language forceful or insufficiently nuanced, but the broader insight remains important. Trauma recovery often stalls when survivors continue to treat themselves with the same contempt or neglect they originally endured. Lastly, recovery depends on grieving, reparenting, and rebuilding relational safety. The book does not present recovery as a purely cognitive process. Walker repeatedly emphasizes grieving as a necessary response to what was lost in childhood, including protection, affection, guidance, play, safety, and belonging. In this view, sadness and anger are not signs of regression, but ways of metabolizing injuries that could not be fully felt when the child had to survive. He pairs grief work with self-reparenting, a practice of developing inner capacities for protection, comfort, encouragement, and limit setting that were missing or unreliable in early caregiving. This includes cultivating an inner nurturing function as well as an inner protective function. Walker also stresses the importance of relational healing, because complex trauma is often rooted in attachment injury. Recovery involves learning to participate in safer relationships, whether through therapy, support groups, friendships, partners, or a deliberately created family. This focus differentiates the book from self-help approaches that overemphasize individual willpower. It recognizes that survivors may need both inner work and external experiences of trust, mutuality, and repair. The practical challenge is that relational healing must proceed gradually, since connection itself can trigger fear. Walker's map, therefore, treats pacing, boundaries, and discernment as central recovery skills. In conclusion, complex PTSD from surviving to thriving is best suited for adults who suspect that chronic childhood neglect, abuse, or emotional abandonment continues to affect their relationships, self-image, mood regulation, and capacity for safety. It can also be useful for therapists, counselors, and supportive partners who want a survivor-centered vocabulary for experiences that are often misread as ordinary anxiety, depression, codependency, or personality difficulty. Its practical benefit lies in naming patterns that many readers recognize, but have struggled to organize: emotional flashbacks, toxic shame, inner critic attacks, fawning, freezing, abandonment fear, and the need for chosen support systems. Intellectually, the book stands out by connecting trauma symptoms to developmental context and relational deprivation, rather than isolating them as disconnected behaviors. Compared with more academic trauma books, it is less research-driven and more experiential, which is both a strength and a limitation. Readers seeking formal diagnostic precision or evidence-based treatment protocols may need to pair it with clinical resources and professional care. Its distinctive place in the trauma recovery field comes from its combination of accessibility, specificity, and survivor therapist perspective. Walker offers not only concepts but also practical language for self-observation, self-protection, grieving, and relational repair, making the book a widely referenced guide for people beginning or deepening complex trauma recovery. If you would like to support Pete Walker, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.